just did.
Okay, so John Moyer, County Corporation Counsel, please come forward, and then again, the way we work it out, I'll read the person who's up, and then the person who's second, just so then you know that you're the second one and ready to go, so we can kind of keep the flow moving. So, thank you.
Yeah, and I've asked John up here. He provided us, the board, with some insightful information into the conditional use process, and I think that it's good for John to explain for everybody in the audience to understand what's in front of us as a board, what our decision is, and what the rules are regarding the conditional use permits.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just indicate that there was a change in Wisconsin law in 2017 with Act 67. I think of it as a significant change in the sense that I think before that act, use permit regulations were more of a flexible zoning tool allowing potentially objectionable land uses, but only if a community determined that the use would be a specific or specified standards. What that act did was codify into law the rule that if an applicant for a conditional use permit meets or agrees to meet all of the required conditions, requirements and conditions specified in the ordinance of the county or those imposed by the county zoning board, that the county shall grant the conditional use permit. So any condition imposed has to be related to the purpose of the ordinance and based on substantial evidence. So what does substantial evidence mean? It's defined as well, again, through this act, which passed in 2017 in Wisconsin. Substantial evidence is facts and information other than merely personal preferences or speculation directly pertaining to the requirements and conditions that an applicant must meet to obtain a conditional use permit and that reasonable persons would accept in support of a conclusion. The law goes on to state that the requirements and conditions described must be reasonable and to the extent practicable, measurable, and may include conditions such as the permit's duration, its transfer, or renewal. The applicant must demonstrate that the application and all requirements and conditions established by the county relating to the conditional use are or shall be satisfied, both of which must be supported by substantial evidence. The county's decision to approve or deny the permit must be supported by substantial evidence. And again, I want to indicate that the board or the committee can impose conditions such as the duration, the transfer, the renewal, or any other condition specified in the zoning ordinance or by the county zoning board. Now, we have a zoning ordinance, and in Chapter 12, it goes into the specific requirements for a quarrying or non-metallic mining operation. And those are the standards in 1229-8 that are utilized in setting the standard in accepting or rejecting an application for conditional use and for the permit, therefore. But that is what the law states, and it seems clear to me that if the case is made based on substantial evidence that the board has the obligation then to grant the conditional use based on the analysis of that evidence and whether the body feels that it is substantial. So that's a summary, if you will, of that act and the current law in Wisconsin.
Okay, thank you very much, John. Appreciate that information. I just thought it was pertinent to everybody here as we as the board had got a chance to review that as well.
So you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so first up, and I have my phone here so I can keep track and let you know how the time is going, but Thomas Camille Jr. is up with John Valick, and don't hold me to it if I mispronounce your name. I'm also trying to read everyone's writing. So John Valick, be on deck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. I will be brief, and I appreciate your time and attention. My name is Thomas Camilli, and I'm an attorney with the firm of Gooding, Garrity, Puntillo, Camilli, and Hughes in Kenosha, 6301 Green Bay Road. in the city of Kenosha. I represent Bonnie Whitworth, who you may have mentioned at several points this evening. Bonnie is seated here as well. She is a resident of the town of Wheatland at 380931st Street. As you may recall, Bonnie's home is directly adjacent to this proposed expansion project, directly to the west, and is most directly impacted by the project. You met Bonnie, and we had the opportunity to discuss our concerns at the October meeting. I presented a PowerPoint and presented numerous reasons why we oppose this project and why I feel it does merit a denial under law on existing applicable ordinance. I'm not going to reiterate all of those items. I'd like to leave you tonight with five main considerations to think about as you deliberate and come to your conclusion, which is going to impact not only my client, but several other residents who are in close proximity to this expansion. I know and I trust that you have heard our voices from the October meeting. You're going to hear the voices tonight from many individuals who will be speaking and who have also been speaking at the town level. The first, very simply, the town of Wheatland does not want this, period. The town board is in the best position to know what is in the best interest of its community and its citizens. I think the town board has spoken loud and clear by its failure to even bring this matter to a vote at the board level. It died at the board level for lack of interest on the part of the board to even consider further expansion of mining in the town of Wheatland. You'll recall at the October hearing, you suggested that the town board go back and get a definitive approval or denial. It did not. And there was not a meeting called to do that. And it didn't because, in my estimation, there is no appetite for further expansion of this project for the reasons I'll briefly mention in a moment. It is the town board that is most in connection with its community, with its citizens, and nothing has changed since October. The town board's position hasn't changed. This applicant does not have town approval, period. If this town board of Wheatland came back and held a vote, I can be quite assured that there would be a resounding no, based upon the fact that two supervisors out of the three have clearly indicated that they would deny this project outright. The second consideration, this project is completely inconsistent with the surrounding land use and is in spirit and substance in violation of the general zoning ordinance. We are putting a high impact land use next to and adjacent to a residential neighborhood, next to citizens who will continue to experience the impact of this operation.
Your 3 minutes is up. Do you have any other brief for your other third point?
I would indulge the committee for two more minutes. You did indicate in your
sure.
comments.
Mm.
Five
for
minutes.
You, yes.
I appreciate
the adjacent landowner representative.
That's all right. And thank you. And I think it's only appropriate given the fact that my client is facing this issue. Property values, again, I'd like you to be cognizant of that. We presented further information in my October correspondence regarding various items which do show practically and academically that these types of high-impact uses in a residential development do decrease property values. Anyone suggesting otherwise is being a bit disingenuous, and I think my client has expressed confirmation of that from the Bear Realty assessment indicated. I think we have to question, too, whether Bear, or whether Lafarge, rather, is being entirely truthful and transparent. Lastly, I'm only saying this because I'm seeing shifting comments, shifting timelines regarding what they're doing. They indicated they'd probably be 10 years with the initial 176 acres, now we're 25 years. I heard 2 to 3 years on this expansion project, now it's 6. The reality is they'll be back every 2 years asking for an extension of the CUP, and at that point, we're going to have to give it because the floodgates are open. I'm asking to close the floodgates now, preserve the character of the community, protect the citizens, and the way of life that they've grown to expect. I will let my client discuss some of the other concerns she has, and based upon the time limitations, I appreciate your attention this evening.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. John Valick with Kim Murphy on deck.
I live next to Bonnie. We moved there in 2015, and we knew that the mine was there. It was small, contained behind the Danko property for the most part, and we already saw from old plots that they've already mined the several acres south of our property. So it was small, maybe whatever size X. But with the expansion of 20 to across the gas line, and now 3,000 feet to the east, the mine isn't shrinking as time goes by. It's 27 years now. It's expanding, I would say, 6 to 8 times bigger than it ever when it was in 15. And reiterate, it's not the character of the neighborhood. You know, we have millions of dollars of houses that have been built since 1996 along 31st Street. Now, newer houses are going up on 376. I'm not sure what's happening on 392nd and 31st Street on the farm, but you drive around and now you see a mine from that northeast or northwest corner of 392nd to 31st Street, and you come north on 376 and you see a massive mine spill 3,000 feet from the road. Now, that's going to be 100 feet from the road. And I the elevation from the bottom of that mine, the lowest part, to the stop sign is not 10 feet. It's probably close to 30 or 40 feet. And that's just an exposed view of a mess, really, that you see 3,000 feet away right now. Now, I'm really concerned about the groundwater because our land is, our address is on that list highlighted at 29 feet. So I'd like a guarantee if this goes forward that that gets fixed. Because now we heard that we were going to, like in October, it was going to be above the water table, 10 feet, 3 to 10 feet or something. I can't remember what it was because it was a lot of words that night. But now we're going below the water table and we're going to create a big lake. I don't think you can even make a lake. Like, just make a lake if you want to. I think you got to include the DNR, study everything that it impacts. And I kind of know that's true because neighbor tried to build a lake next to our property at our club, and it got taken down because it was unpermitted and unapproved. So that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Kim Murphy with Mary Peterson on deck.
Hi, Kim Murphy, 3811 131st Street. Two things from last time I just want to remind you of that week that I talked about the zoning. We bought our property in a specific zoning, never in a residential area. In 1996, it was different with where that is. We are now a community in 2023. Zoning where we live, if it changes to something else, that impacts our residents, right? Our properties, our families. More importantly, I'm one of the two yellow wells that was identified up there. First time I'm hearing of it tonight. Kind of a shock. A good neighbor would have probably said, hey, we have this information we're going to show. It's going to be shocking, because it is. With that, I am not sure that I understand the risk mitigation or the plan associated with that. What is not sufficient for me, again, this is new, hearing it just, maybe 30 minutes ago. I don't feel this will happen, that it'll be an issue, not a good enough guarantee to protect myself, my family, or my property. The other, I'm not looking for a good neighbor. I want to know my impact of it and what is going to happen to me if there is an issue. What if there's an unintended consequence after it's done? I want to know the risk mitigation for my property that was just shown tonight, that there's a high potential that there's an issue, right? And I don't know that an observation well, that's good enough. I don't understand it. I need more time to understand the facts and data they presented tonight, and I hope you as the board can understand that I'm trusting you, my family is trusting you to be a good neighbor, and more importantly, to protect us. Not just me, but everybody else back there. They talk about jobs. They talk about their property or their facility. I'm talking about my property. that I got surprised about tonight, because I'm one of the two wells. I need to understand what that means, and I need to understand what the mitigation plan is, and more importantly, the guarantee, if there's an issue with it, because I did not plan for this, what is the guarantee if there's an issue? I think that's it. Again, shocking, right? I pay my taxes. I elected you guys. I want you to protect me. I want you to protect my family.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mary Peterson. Mary Peterson. So then we have Mike or Gail DeFern. With on deck would be Grant or Kelly Payron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike DeFern. I live at 4101 376th Avenue. Been there since 2001. I had a bunch of questions, but after seeing the revised plan, I guess it comes down to this. When they were going through, when they presented a plan to the town building and zoning people, they assured them that they would not be excavating below water level. They got approval on that assurance. And they also assured them that there would not be a pond, another pond. The only ponds remaining at the end of restoration of the original 175 acres were the two existing ponds that they have on the site now, very small. But now we're looking at a 12-acre pond with a 15-foot water depth. That presents a whole new ballgame that the town never approved. The Planning Commission didn't approve it. The zone people that are before the town board got a hold of it specifically said they would not consider another pond on their site. So that's the main issue. The other issue I have is the noise study that was done. Appeared to me to only be concerned with the operation of the mine itself. It did not seem to include the original or the first step of stripping the overburden and building the berms. My question to the petitioner is that construction of the scraping and the moving, masquerading of the overburden and building of the berms, is that going to be a scraper dozer operation or a over the road truck operation? What type of equipment are we going to be seeing there? Because 40,000 yards is going to be, if the weather is perfect and all the conditions are met, probably a 10 to 12 week operation just to get to their product and get the berms done. So depending on what type of equipment they're going to use for that, that can be an extremely noisy and dusty operation. Because masquerading generally, and there's a couple of people on the committee here that understand masquerading and construction, generally doesn't have a lot of dust control when you're masquerading, because scrapers operate on friction with the ground and they generally have dozers pushing them. And they're running three operation this size, three, maybe five scrapers. I don't know what kind of equipment they're going to use, but I think that's a valid question. The other question, or the other statement I'll make is that...
And just quick follow-up with that, because your time is up.
Okay. The new plan should go back to the town planning zoning. It's completely different than what was approved.
Okay, thank you. So then we have Grant or Kelly Payron, one of... Your two, please come up with Bonnie Whitworth on deck. And I guess just to help, I'll raise my hand up when you have about 30 seconds to see you can kind of think through on finishing your thoughts.
Hello, my name is Kelly from 3830 Country Road, Burlington, Wisconsin. So last time I was here, I asked any of you if you had done your own personal research on the potential health effects of a gravel pit, and none of you had, being a nurse, I feel like it's very important, and I feel that the due diligence of this knowledge is necessary for you guys to make a sound decision today. So my goal is just to review with you a few important topics. So the first article you see is by the American Lung Association. The silicosis is an interstitial lung disease caused by breathing in tiny bits of silica. It's in minerals found in many types of rock and soil. Permanent lung scarring results called pulmonary fibrosis. When silica dust enters the lungs, it causes inflammation and over time develops scar tissue that makes it difficult to breathe. Complications from silicosis include tuberculosis, lung cancer, chronic bronchitis, lung nodules. Progressive disease, this is a progressive disease that can take 10 to 30 years after exposure to develop, which is occurring now. Fibrosis may need support with oxygen and other devices to help people breathe. Second article, you don't have a copy of that, but it's by Howden, and I can give it to you. Crystalline silica is a designated known human carcinogenic, meaning it is a definite cause of human cancer. Once you breathe it in, it goes deep into your lungs and stays there, permanently scarring and damaging lung tissue. These tiny dust particles can travel for miles through the air. Breathing this dust over a long period of time eventually leads to life-changing and very serious lung diseases such as emphysema, bronchitis, and silicosis, as well as lung cancer, kidney disease, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The chances of developing these diseases increases with higher and longer durations of exposure, which is what Lafarge is proposing that we continue to do so that they can make a profit. Next page, damages caused by gravel pits and mines. This is found on the internet. There are six main topics. I'm going to focus on number two, water contamination. The disrupted natural ground coverings, vegetation through blasting and digging takes away natural filtration process. When it rains or when they use excess water, it causes all surface pollutants to rapidly bombard our drinking water, making it unhealthy to consume. The toxic chemicals, fertilizers, insecticides from the farmland, dust from mining, machinery and trucks, fuel and lubrications, these are all toxic to humans and chemicals that can cause cancer.
And ma'am, if you can please finish your thoughts on that.
I'm trying real hard to go fast. We haven't drank our water since our daughter got leukemia 8 years ago. To sum it up, we need protection from Lafarge, and we need your help to do it. We're just simple folks who've been lied to. 25 years ago, they promised to be done in 10, and here we are, going further once again. We're here to try to protect our livelihoods. Please stand for what is right, stand with us, and shut down this unethical company from doing any more damage to this community. Our health should not be compromised. Our health and our futures are in your hands. Please don't let us down. Please end this today and let it never return for discussion. Allow us to be back to drinking our water and breathing our air in safe safety and in peace. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bonnie Whitworth with Paul Schneider on deck.
The amendment parcel. It's glad, it was nice to hear that they've made some changes to their original plans. Their original plans call for them piling their waste 20 feet from my property line and so on and so forth. But their plan still is going to bring their gravel pit 100 feet past my front door. They're going to box me in on two sides of the gravel pit. My property's going to butt theirs on two sides. I have a letter from a real estate agency, too, that it's going to reduce the value of my property 30 to 40%. I was was thinking I was going to sell my home sometime in the near future. And I asked Randy from Lafarge, why don't you buy my house? I said, because once you do what you're planning to do, it's going to have no resale value anyway. And he said, we can't afford to do that. I thought, yeah, why buy what you could just take? You're going to take the value of my house away from me. When he said he couldn't afford it, I wonder how that is, because, you know, there's this article, and they're all over the internet, regarding their dealings with the same terrorist who attacked us on 9/11. And they paid them millions of dollars to protect their cement plant in Syria and their profits. And essentially, they gave them the operating capital to come back and attack us again for money. And I can't believe that anybody would, in their right mind, consider continuing to do business with a company who has that little regard for human life, ours, that they would do that. They pled guilty, so they only had to pay a fine in the millions, $778 million instead of billions. Crimes against humanity. That's the same thing the Nazis were charged with during World War II. They're not the only gravel pit mining operation in our area. There are other companies here. There are other areas in the county. They're not located in a residential area that
30 seconds.
Companies can come and mine gravel from. It doesn't have to be them. I don't think we should be doing any business with them. And it certainly doesn't have to be in our residential area. It can be much farther away. And nobody should overlook this.
Thank you. Paul Schneider with Kathy Anderson.
Thank you. Paul Schneider, 3585 376th Avenue. I think I sent the letter. I did send a letter in expressing some of my concerns. I was going to talk, but after listening tonight, I have a couple of questions. Saw that it was a six-year time frame. Is that for the expansion, or is that for the entire mining operation? Or will Lafarge be back in 2 years and say, we're going to dig a huge lake where we've already mined? Second question relates to wells. I was number two on the list. If my well goes south, is Lafarge only going to cover the two wells that are currently called shallow wells, or are they going to cover all impacted wells in the area? I'd like to comment on the vehicle study. Vehicle, you know, noise level, understand the car goes down 376, there's noise, but that's very, very intermittent. A mining operation is continuous from 7 to 3. You hear it all the time. Current mines may be 1,000, 1,300 feet from my house. I can hear the wheel loaders. I can hear them when they dump a load of rock into, I forget the piece of equipment. You know, if it's 400 feet, 500 feet from my house, it's going to be exponentially louder. Another question, you know, it says starts at 7 o'clock. With all that's going on, I've been paying a little more attention. I see vehicles moving around the mine prior to 7 o'clock. What's the procedure for filing a complaint on that? And dust off the hills, I do get dust off the hills. I was hoping when the current mine is mined out, I'd be able to open my windows in the summertime. I think it looks like that's just going to be pushed out. This is a residential area. Mine had defined boundaries. It's time to just let them mine out what they have. Let the residents in the area enjoy their homes. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathy Anderson with Kurt Anderson on deck.
Hi, good evening. My name is Kathy Anderson. I live at 3420 368 Avenue. We are stone's throw from, well, actually, I like to, first of all, I don't write a copy of these plans, because we would not be privy to any of this, because we are just, yeah, we're not going to be in this project. So I guess the data was more important enough. I can throw a stone to where they're talking about doing this. I'd like to know how far east they're going to come on 31st Avenue. Is this going to come up to 368th Avenue? I haven't seen anything like that. I haven't seen any plans because we don't get any of this because we're not within 300 feet. So I would like to know, I'd like to see where this street parameters of where it's going to happen. Is that possible?
Oh, the maps, and so everything that in their application is submitted online and is available.
Okay.
And we can provide you that link. Correct.
And it's got street names and everything?
Correct.
Okay, great. And then somebody said something about being a union job and that they'll be ending when they, you know, right when they need to have the work. I work for a union company, and they don't have any issues. They keep working until it's done, so they need to get it done. That's correct. But, and then another sentence, somebody said, our property values near the mine would increase or have increased. I'd like to see that report from somebody. And that tax, this is going to reduce the tax burden. I'd like to see that report from someplace. I don't know who said that. Are we going to feel vibrations? Nobody's mentioned feeling vibrations of anything. Of excavating, graders, and rollers, and whatever else is going to be under there. We're very close to this. And, you know, are we going to, is the ground going to start shaking when we're doing stuff? I feel that. I don't know. And, you know, if they come as far as we think they're going to come, it's, our back window is going to be looking at the gravel pit. This is our nest egg. This is our retirement. And it's going to decrease, like you said, 30-40%. That's just unbelievable. I don't want to put a gravel pit in my backyard. It's going to decrease our values. Largely criminal and corrupt company. They shouldn't be doing this. They shouldn't be working here. You should be.
30 seconds.
That's pretty much all I have to say. I think LaFarge should not be allowed to do this project. I think the project should be stopped, regardless of whether it's LaFarge or not. It should be stopped. We shouldn't have a gravel pit in the middle of this nice residential area where there's nice. The homes to the north, Racine County, I don't believe that they were advised of this because they're Racine County. That's what I understand. People like directly across the street. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody from Racine County here, but it doesn't seem like it was very well broadcasted and made available to people that it was going to affect, you know, whether I'm 300 feet or whether I'm 310 feet. So, should have been made aware of it. We were only made aware by other neighbors that let us know.
All right. Thank you very much.
The project is a very bad idea. Thank you.
Kurt Anderson with Rich Richards on deck.
I need to press anything. Stop.
No, red light's on. Stop.
Okay, thank you. My name is Kurt Anderson. I'm 4475 376 Avenue in Wheatland. A lot of what I was going to say, everybody said, so I can not repeat that. One of the things that I've noticed in this is there's a rezoning. And the current zoning, from what I've read, is to promote ag, restrict non-ag, limit land use, purpose, preserve, protect, and enhance, restore woodlands, better identify and understand the natural resources, potential environmental and conflict issues and conflicts of land use. And it seems like rezoning is kind of just ignores all that. My assumption is that zoning was put in place to do that. Everybody's talked about the noise. I live a mile away from it, and I can hear it at night, and I can hear it in the morning. It's not a loud noise, but it's there. And like someone else said, traffic is intermittent. It's not a big deal. They said 6 years. I don't know if that meant they're going to be done at 6 years and close shop, or they're just going to be done with repping everything at 6 years. I really think they're going to continue because they've been doing it for 27 years. And anything else I say is going to repeat what everybody else said. I just did want to point out, look at the number of people that have come out tonight that are not in favor of this. I think it's the community speaking out. And I think that's something that needs to really be considered.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So we have Rich Richards with John Palika.
Yes, good evening. My name is Rich Richards. I live at 4308 376th Avenue. From my backyard, I can see the pit, see the gravel operation to the northwest. I can also hear them. It's a low level noise. It's not irritating. It's work going on. If I live close, I'm sure that noise would be quite loud. Reference, I have a neighbor that has dogs. When the dogs are out, sometimes they like to bark. If they bark for a long time, it can be annoying. If they bark from 7 in the morning till 6 at night, it would be extremely annoying. And that's what I'm thinking, the people who live out on 31st, the people on 376 that's just south of where the pit is going to be by the cemetery there, it's going to be very noisy. The second concern is groundwater. If indeed the groundwater levels go low, that affects our wells or get contaminated for whatever reason, who pays for that? Do the individual well owners have to come up with a solution, or is there going to be something in with the farms that says, hey, we'll help you out, we'll take care of it? So, thank you very much.
Thank you. John Palika, if I pronounce that correctly, and then Todd Hoffman.
My name is John Palika. I'm at 3837 376th Avenue. My wife and I live directly across the street from the pit. In 2000, we visited the Bassett pit, and Danny Ketterhagen laid out a very nice blueprint that looked identical to that recovery pit that was going to be recovered with foams and lakes, and it was going to be recovered in 2020. Back then that was Bassett, now it's Lafarge. I think there was an intermediate between there. We need to stop the pit now, because I don't think any of you guys will be here, and it may be different faces at that table at the end of that 6 years when they extend the pit, and will never come to an end. My concern is with what changed is with the groundwater. I would like guarantees of our groundwater. Our house is our biggest investment. Without groundwater, our house is worthless. I personally know people. I grew up in Spring Grove. Spring Grove is a giant aggregate town. I personally know people recently, which a lake was dug and their wells were compromised. There was nothing that came out of it because the cost to litigate was cheaper than drilling your own wells. So I know people personally that was affected. My wife and I are concerned about our property values and our groundwater. I think it needs, it was mentioned earlier, I think it needs to go back to the town of Wheatland because the plan has changed. As a constituent, I ask you to protect the residents of Wheatland. Thank you.
Thank you. Todd Hoffman with Richard Wiersman.
My name is Todd Hoffman. I'm 4775-376th Avenue. A berm was mentioned to block the view of some of this. The intersection of 376 and 31st is quite high. And the berm was on the diagram is now being lower. So I don't think that's going to block the view. Also, if you're taking a drive, it's not a major
Taxes too, all of us. For residential properties, we pay a lot of taxes. Agricultural property is very lightly taxed. And all of the benefit, all of the profit comes or goes to the property owners that are leasing the land for the pits. But we're sitting there, all of us, surrounded by it or around, you know, in various directions, are the ones paying the price of it. Because it's diminishing the quality of our life, potentially the value of our property. If we're on 376th or 31st Street, you can't come from any direction, especially if this new one goes in, without going past a gravel pit. You know, it's going to look like we're in the middle of a wasteland. You know, you can see it, you don't have to go through it, but you can see it on 392nd, you can see it on 31st Street on the west side toward 392nd. You can see it on 376, not as much as before. And now, if it's up at the corner, you're going to see that. So we're going to be in the middle of, you know, desolation. Property values have gone up. Property values have gone up everywhere. But the question, like I mentioned before, the Packwaukee study is, have they gone up as much
30 seconds
as they could have? Okay. Another concern is sound. We have a lot of sound. Walzak is a sounding board. And we also have one of the high level wells, and the level of our pump is probably about 60 feet above the 771 feet quoted. So I've got some concerns about that. That's spring water, and if we have to dig a deeper well, we're going to have different water. We bought in 93, and the property was rezoned.
Please finish your thought then. Thank you.
Okay. But, you know, if it was known that this was coming, you know, I sort of feel like we got betrayed because we bought property that we thought was going to be one thing. By the time we built our house, we had a mine behind us. And we weren't apprised with that. And, you know, I don't know if it should have been allowed considering the, you know, change in the zoning that had happened that allowed us to buy our land.
Thank you. Grant Payron.
My name is Grant Payron. I
give me the example, we don't know the risk. Yes, we can talk about the wells when they fall through. How do we know what the risk of the wells are? We really don't know. The chances are, like somebody mentioned, you guys will go on, and then it's a situation that we can really have to take with it. How far can we at some other place where they're mining 10 years, 20 years down the road? I think the bigger concern you all have to think about is, my wife brought up all that. It's a personal issue, and I'm a farm kid, so the dust issue, you know, I always sort of have that bad over the 25 years of being in sound. But I learned a hard lesson, and I've always since then tried to understand what is causing it. My daughter has sick, right? Okay, that's a coincidence. But the problem I have with that is, when you make a claim like that, maybe the board, maybe they would come and say, well, yeah, how outrageous of a claim that should be to link your daughter's cancer with this operation. But there's an unknown risk there that we don't understand, and I don't know what it is, but it just seems like this pit has something that is dangerous. I know of one member across the street is gone from cancer. My daughter took 6 months to survive. She had a 50% chance. God willing, she survived. I know another member who no longer, a neighbor that no longer lives near us, that moved about the time when we built. She's gone from breast cancer. I know another member on the other side of that has terminal cancer. I know another member who lived across the street next to Bonnie that had breast cancer, survived. It would be interesting if we were really inquisitive, I'll give you 30 seconds, inquisitive, we would look down the stretch from 376 to 392, a half a mile, and do a case study on how many people have got cancer in the last 10, 15 years. And let's go then a mile east, or how many houses we have to find if it's 2 miles. That's the risk, the unknown. There's something there. And that's why I'm asking you guys, you know, at least be inquisitive to search it out. Because you are the ones that protect us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's all that we had on our list for those speaking. Sir, if you want to come up, and then when you're finished, then we'll get your name. Or are you on our list already, sir? Okay.
My name is Richard Bratz, 11329 Carter Road. Thank you guys for God about us. We live on the other side of the road. Nobody talks about them. Number one, I've been in a war. I just found this out a couple days ago. I've been in a war. Why would I want to do business with a company who aided the enemy? Yes, they got fined. All the years changed their damn name. Why would I want to be in business with them? It doesn't make quite sense, does it? I bought my house in 2005. The house was built in 94. I knew there was a pit across the line. I knew that pit was supposed to. I didn't check it out, but it was supposed to check it out in a couple years. This is since 2005. Now we're out 2023. Still going. They say it's only supposed to last a couple more years? Bullshit. We got several pits in our area. We don't need any more. We don't need to say, let this pit come out at the end. All right, come, give it 2 years. Fine, you're done. Period. Stop. It sounds like a good idea, what they're saying. Well, we're only going to do a few acres. And we'll be done in a few years. It's just like that solar panel deal. Sounds like a great idea, but I'll bet you, a lot of us are going to be dead by then. Every one of you guys, I bet you, ain't going to be here on this board. A lot of us won't even, like I said, won't be here. See what happens then. Thanks.
Thank you. That's everyone that we had on our list for speaking.
So one of the things that that I asked Andy when... There's a couple of things that were in the presentation and in the information that we received regarding the timeline. And, you know, as a board, I think that we're looking to include some additional conditions into the conditional uses here. If, and I guess I would propose adding the 6-year maximum for the restoration on this. And then also the other items that we had heard from the residents, the remedy to any well issues that that are related to the mining operations. How are we tying that to the conditional uses on this as well?
So with that being said, they are not existing conditions, and those are ones that can be added as voted upon by the board if that so happens going forward.
Okay. And if I remember right, when I read it, the mining was going to be 5 years, and then the sixth year was for to complete the restoration, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. That's the maximum amount of time. We could be done sooner. That would be okay. Great.
As far as the concern with the town, Andy, I think we went back to the town and, you know, they basically said that they're not going to even look at this. Again, is that what we had received from them?
That is correct.
Okay. And I think one of the other differences that's changed is that we are looking for an end date on this. And that was some of the impetus for the changing of the plans that that LaFarge is bringing forward to us, is to how do you bring back a plan that is better to be done and out of there in a certain amount of time. So I think that's what's driving some of these changes here. Are there any other comments from the other board members related to the conditions or additional conditions?
And I'm just going to clarify for everyone. I mean, we're talking about the entire operations here, and actually the item that is before the committee is the comprehensive plan change. And so if the comprehensive plan is thought to be something to be changed, then the other items would go forward. So obviously it's kind of a package, but it is one before the other. And so just keep that in mind as well. We aren't even specifically talking about the conditional use permit, but we are in a roundabout way. So right. I just want to be clear.
It all works together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is there any way we can address the conditional use permit resolution first? Since most of the objections, no, you can't. Okay. What? Can you explain why that is again?
Because the conditional use permit is even valid unless the comprehensive plan is changed, which doesn't allow for the rezoning to change. And then once those things are in place, then the conditional use permit would become a valid item.
So we can't address any subsequent conditions until we pass the comprehensive plan and rezoning. Then we can potentially add any additional conditions.
Not saying that. I think this is a good time to talk about all those things, to work them out, but just knowing the order of how it would go and that there still would be the opportunity to talk through additional conditions. But certainly if there's anything that would come up, we'd want to address that if we get to that point.
Yeah, I just... I feel like we need time to talk about some of the things that were mentioned by the public here. See if we can reconcile them and put them in a position or put them in the context of adding a condition or conditions. Because there's a lot here. And I know our charge is that as long as based upon the law that Mr. Boyer presented, as long as the applicant is given an opportunity to address some of these conditions, we have to consider it. But there are so many things that were mentioned, and granted, some of them were we've heard before, and I think they've addressed some of them. But I'm in a bit of a quandary right here, a little overwhelmed with the information. So I'm just mentioning that.
And we certainly can allow LaFarge to answer the different questions that come up or any specific questions that the board has.
I'd like him to address any of the things that were mentioned so as to enlighten us before we make any decision. Literally, I've written two or three pages of stuff here, and I'd like to see how they would answer any of those conditions. That's our charge. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If, I would say, if you have some questions, are you prepared to answer some questions from the board?
I'll do my best. I took a lot of notes going along as well.
I think
we have Patrick Engineering.
To
assist also if it's water related or well related. So
fair enough. It would help me, and I think it would be important to bring this stuff out in the open and see if they're if you're in a position to address some of these concerns. Okay. Okay. Where do we start? One of the things that was mentioned was that I'm trying to figure out how to word this. Okay. How do we address some of the concerns about the groundwater issue? One of the things that was brought up was that the original town plan commission stated that any digging was going to be above the groundwater level, not below it, as you mentioned. Now, I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows what the decision was made by the Planning Commission. Is that true? And why have you changed it to dig below the groundwater level? That's a question that I'd like to know.
It was originally the landowner's decision that we didn't mine below water, even though we knew there was material there. When we had heard at the October meeting that there was, I guess, allegations that we were going to keep mining, we were going to go under the road, we were going to chase gravel for the next 20 years, we switched gears and started looking at if this is the last piece of property we can mine, and we're looking at the end of the mine, maybe we'll go back to the landowners and see how they would feel about us just getting the remainder of the material out, which created the timeline, the deadline, where we're not going to cross the road, we're not going to any other properties. So we looked at the additional material we could take out with the investment put in, because again, it's a business, and came to the conclusion that we could go back to a drawing board that said we could create a 10 or 12 acre lake. We'd mine below water down the street at the KD pit. There's very numerous examples of mining below water in the aquifer without damaging anybody's water supply.
Because that was one of several of the concerns.
Yes.
If you go below the water level, then you might be potentially contaminated.
Correct. And I think what we tried to cite out in our research, and maybe Jeff Hsu is better equipped to answer it, but we found out that at the level we would mine in order to create the lake, there was only two wells that were within even maybe 15 or 20 feet of the level we were going to be mining. All the other wells are screened well below that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just these two wells have very shallow areas where they drop. That doesn't mean the pump can't be lowered and they got plenty of water. I don't know of anybody that's had a water problem before. It just sounds like it's alarming that they don't know their own wells, that some of them are deeper. Some of them, we don't know where their pumps are at. We're saying we're not worried about having any impact on them, but I guess as a warning signal for us, that if we saw that that observation well was being, we saw at some level that it made sense, like looking at, if we were digging into the water and we were looking at the well and there was maybe something that was concerning, sure, we would look into that. And sure, we would backstop a well problem, provided that we were the ones that were causing the problem. We're responsible. But there's a whole lot of other wells that were on that chart that we probably aren't even blinking an eye at, only because we're not mining at anywhere near the depth that they're drawing water from.
So you're assertion that an observation well is sufficient?
As an early warning, that means we need to start asking people questions if we can't explain ourselves. I mean, I've seen ponds in the area just due to drought drop 6 feet in maybe 12 months. And we see it in our own pits, but that's everywhere. Everywhere is feeling that same drop in water.
So
well,
we have,
I think you do, because we sent our reports to your engineers.
Yes, that was gonna be the other point to Supervisor Franco, is that we have a report from Sigma, who was our third party consultant, that reviewed their report,
right.
Who's going to be monitoring the wells. But Andy probably knows more because he's worked with them.
Yeah, and they provided the report, which we provided the committee, and the conclusions of the report indicated that they concurred with the recommendations that were presented by the well engineering firm from Lafarge, and concurred with the additional well to monitor, which then, if moving forward, because of the fact that we have a biannual inspections and monitoring of all the wells, is that would be added to that contract.
Additional use permit for the contract itself?
Both.
Okay. What about the issue of no ponds? Someone mentioned that there weren't going to be any ponds.
Not to my knowledge. There's restoration plans from... Are you talking about on the...
I don't know.
The expansion parcel?
Yeah.
They're originally, because the landowner didn't want us to mine below water. They wanted it returned to farmland. And now they've had a change of heart, knowing that this might be the only... might be the last piece that is going to be mined. And that's, I guess, we're making that statement. We're not trying to make up something 5 years from now that's going to change. It's like, allow us to put the capital to use here to get 5 more years of mining, and then we'll retreat all the way back to 392nd Avenue and start taking out all the infrastructure at the other end when we're done producing material.
Okay, what about the issue of silica?
I can tell you that the Mine Safety and Health Administration puts monitors on our own employees for silica. And sand and gravel does not have any silica contents that are going to impact any of our workers over an 8-hour shift. I mean, I think you have to get into some pretty unique rock formations and pretty dusty environments, I think, to have any exposure. I did an industrial hygiene study 30 years ago for most of our aggregate and ready-mix sites, and we just did it out of precaution because they were changing the rules, and we didn't have any of our sites that tested positive. And you can speak to inspection.
This came up last fall, and I
remember.
And I brought our results from MSHA, from Mine Safety Health Administration, up there. It's on the website. People can look up our public knowledge. Can go out to MSHA's website, look up the Dire Lake gravel pit, and it shows all the results of the super attack.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just trying to answer some of the
questions. It's hard to,
there's a lot of...
I understand, and it's hard to take information off the internet and read it and try, you know, it's a general information. So it's not specific, obviously, to our site, because of all the years of testing, we aren't producing it. So
you have something on your site that says that there's no silica produced, is that what you're saying? Or? or the site you...
The question, I'm interpreting the question you're asking is about that. The question was general information off the internet. It wasn't specific to our site.
Okay.
I'm giving the facts of our site from the government testing and our internal testing. I have nothing more to say. I can't offer any more than the facts of what.
And that's all I want. That's all I want. Right. I just want answers to some of these questions, and I think the people in the audience do too. So you're saying that the government, the testing itself didn't show any.
Correct.
So that's what you're saying.
Right. Okay. No overexposure over the permissible exposure limit. Public data.
If I can go back to the water quality issue, because Jeff Hsu was texting me, he said maybe there's a condition that could be added that an action plan would be implemented if that observation well would drop outside of a normal fluctuation. I mean, we've been looking at our ponds and measuring the wells surrounding the mine for 25 years. If there's something that gets way out on the bell curve, does that trigger some kind of an implementation plan?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I just think that there needs to be as many assurances as possible addressing some of these conditions because I think it's important. If we're going to go ahead with this, we need to address some of these things in the contingency plan, conditional use permit. I don't know if my colleagues have any other concerns or questions. I could go on. Yeah, I'll defer if anyone else has any questions. She's got me. I don't have the authority to address.
Can I just say something?
It's up on the chair.
You were, if it will be brief, you need to come up to the microphone.
People are all talking about me.
No, you have to come up to the microphone for the record.
Kathy Anderson, 3420, 368. You guys are all talking about, well, if we address this, if we address that, and we'll make this change, we'll make that change. You're not understanding what everybody's saying. We don't want changes. We don't want it.
Period. Okay.
Is that true?
We are under obligation to address the specific site, the specific conditional uses that are requested, that our ordinance allows, and we have to work with those. So I understand what you're saying.
I feel like all this is all on deck because you're just talking about we'll change this
and do it. Okay. Do you have any other substantive comments about the plan that they have? We're looking for related exactly to specific elements, measurable items that should be considered by the board.
Right. Okay. But if you're considering what you're saying, that's
we have a plan that's submitted that meets conditional uses, and we're talking about conditional uses if we are to approve. It's a public hearing, and that's what your right is.
No.
There's been a lot of conversation here. We've been here for a long time.
Okay.
Board members, are there any other comments? Supervisor Franco, I know that you...
I just our task as a board is constrained quite a bit by the law, and that the decision we have to make, whatever it is narrowly tailored to whether the applicant can address
the concerns that many of you have voiced, if they can come up with, and according to the county lawyer, if they can address it in a measured, practical way, we are compelled to support it. That's where we are. This is why I find this very uncomfortable, and I know that it's frustrating, but that's all we can consider. We can't consider anything else legally. And if they can come up and address, that's why we're looking at it from the perspective of, well, can they address it? Can they address it? Because the ultimate question is, can you address all of these issues? And if you can, how do you address it? Because if you can't address it, then we have a reason to reject it. If they can address it in a reasonable, logical way, we're kind of constrained. Am I accurately characterizing that, Mr. Moore?
Yes. If I may, it just has to be reasonable and measurable standards.
And that's where we are. How do you address the property right question that you had that you want to address that?
I'll do my best. There's a letter that we had sent in from Mr. Crimmings. I think he explained a little bit of a contrast to compare the homes that were the historical values of the homes near the Dyer Lake operation versus homes that were near. And they were actually increasing in value faster in time on market during periods when there was growth in home values. And I think we've been in this market region for 25 years. If there was ever any diminution in value, it would have been 25 years ago. With the exception, I think he said, of Miss Whitworth's home, probably at the initial onset, there would be some short-term diminution, but knowing that there's an end, it would probably go right back up. But I don't think he had those comments for any other homes. It was only because of her close proximity. He's not here tonight, but I'm only.
And we appreciate his analysis of that. I heard comments about common sense that would make this, but I mean, he did the analysis, but it stands to reason, and that's as far as we can answer on that. However, at the end of the mining and the restoration, when it turns back into a pond and it's all reclaimed, and whatever happens in the future, what the Rovers do, potentially with residential parcels around it, or whatever may happen, is where the value goes back.
No. I'm sorry. We've had public comments already. I appreciate it. I understand what you're saying, but it's
Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I think we've had a lot of a worthy discussion here tonight. I'm in favor of tabling or delaying this decision on it. Just a little more information. Not from what I heard, I want to hear more from other sources, and I want to do my own research more so than I've already done. And the hour is pending here. It's 10:45. I think we should put together a special meeting at an earlier hour, possibly, just for this particular topic. I think we need to get information out to more residents other than 300 feet or all that. Whatever we're duty-bound to do, I think you need to expand on that. I think it's a worthy thing not to just sit. I think we're just right now, we're just getting rushing to it to finish this thing off. And I don't think that's prudent on our part as supervisors, and I'm kind of miffed at the fact that Wheatland couldn't take care of their own thing here. I really am. That it kicked it down the road to us right here. I think they need to take care of their own house, but that's a different story at a different time. So, without further ado, I would call to table this and ask for a special meeting that would be beneficial to this particular topic at hand. And I'll just leave that up to you, Mr. Chairman, if you want to put it up for a vote or not, and if this board wants to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Kubicki. I feel like we've had a pretty comprehensive proposal before us, and a lot of items have been talked about and discussed. And I'm looking at the items on the agenda and talking with Andy here is that, you know, really the first step in the process here is to address the comprehensive plan amendment. What we've been talking about are a lot of the conditional uses that go along with it. And so we've had our consultant, Sigma, look at what's been returned to us, and there's been a considerable amount of time spent on this by our staff. I guess I'm looking for a gauge of the board's, if we want to decide on item number 7, which is a comprehensive plan amendment, so then we can move forward with, if that's what we want to do or if that's what we would vote for, then we would move on to the other more details of the project. Are you in a position where you feel you could make a decision on the comprehensive plan objectively?
Mr. Chairman, point of order, you do have a motion. There's been no second. Okay, but he hasn't put it to rest yet.
I guess I didn't know that. I apologize if there was a motion. Thought it was a suggestion to the board.
It was a motion, was it not?
I said I'd like to make a motion to table to move it to a different date and time earlier, and whatever time limits that we think we need to put to it, let's do it and be done with it. I mean, I'm not going to support it right now, I can tell you that, if that's what you're looking for, because one thing ties into another, according to Mr. Bueller. You have to do this, and that ties into something else, and you move forward. It's all one package, really. Is that right?
It is once the comprehensive plan, if the comprehensive plan is moved forward.
You know, so that's where I'm at. Not to say that without more information, I'm going to say something different, but right now I just don't think everything's out there. I think some people haven't been informed. I think some people are uninformed, and I think we have to be more open with what we do here in this particular thing, because there's a lot of angst within the people, the community that live around this thing. That's all I got to say about that. Thank you.
I'm happy to second motion, just so we vote on it, discuss it, because I think there's, as was mentioned by my colleague, that there are some things that still need to be ironed out, it seems like to me, especially if we are going to add conditions. And frankly, I'd like to go over some of this information myself and interpret it and talk amongst ourselves so we can see how can we mention or how can we translate some of these conditions into the comprehensive plan or into the conditional plan. So I would second that.
So we have a motion to table item number 7, which is the comprehensive plan amendment. Is that correct, Supervisor Kubicki?
That's correct.
And is there any other motion besides tabling it? You did discuss that you wanted to pick another date, but
yeah, I think the motion needs to be clarified further.
Yeah.
May we ask a question? Is there other information that we're going to need to provide?
Well, just so, let us work through the motion first.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Go ahead, Supervisor.
As related to discussion, I did hear several members of this committee make commentary statements
earlier this evening before we convened about the large volume of material that we've received in the last 24 hours, some of it today, that we haven't had the opportunity to really review or ingest. I recall I sent a note back about one of the pieces saying, how would we gain more insight and understanding into that myself? I do agree we've put many, many hours into this already. At the same token, I agree we want to get it right. So I think clarifying the motion to, within the next 30 days, reconvene. I'm sorry, it's your motion, you'll do it, but to reconvene and discuss this in a session that's specifically assigned to this, giving us opportunity to then finalize it, would probably make sense, because there are pending questions that we have, and I think we do need to consult legal counsel on a couple of them and understand them further.
So one comment just to clarify is the next scheduled meeting of this committee is March 8th. I'm not saying that that's when the next hearing is for this committee. And in regards to tabling 7, just because of the protocol at the beginning, 7, 8, and 9 were removed from the table, I would look to request that if there was to move forward, it would be amended to table all 3.
I agree with that. That's appropriate.
Question, Andy, is it possible to notice a meeting within X number of days? How much notice do we need to give?
We have to post 2 weeks prior to any meeting and a few days, before that to make sure we get everything in. So before any meeting, we would need to be able to post for 2 weeks.
Okay. So you're talking first week of March is really the earliest opportunity.
Correct.
Okay. So, your motion, sorry, sir.
Yeah. So, Mr. Chairman, if I could,
yes, Supervisor Kubicki.
That particular date, if that works for Bueller and his board, that 8th. That do it for you, Mr. Bueller?
March 8th would work. I mean, we're prepared for the meeting.
All the information is going to be deciphered, regurgitated, looked over, not the day of. Have time to look at
and we can schedule a work session
at a
different time.
Yes.
Right. Yes, please.
Work session
for sure. Thank you for that. Thing. That's what I would add to my motion is that as well.
That we all could make.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you've amended your motion, and I'm just going to restate the motion so it's clear. And I assume second on the amendments and the motion, and what I recall the motion to be is that we're going to table items 8 and 9 to the scheduled meeting on March 8th, and we're going to have a work session. Probably some other correspondence between you and Andy that can be had here. But I think the 4 points that Supervisor Frank had would probably be a good start to what we're looking to address.
Because if there's more information that's needed, somebody would have to.
And 12, which are tabled. It's the Kendall developments. We now request that just remain tabled. We have a meeting scheduled with the Kendalls tomorrow afternoon, of which time we intend to talk over the options and hope to resolve where this is going and be able to present that in March. And then with that, we're up for approval of minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion's minutes approved. Any other citizen comments?
Just one.
If you do, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, please.
Kim Murphy, 38111 31st Street. Wondering how we get the information shown tonight. We as property owners, as community members, haven't seen the data. How do we get a copy of that presentation? Especially because it directly affects our properties.
Yeah, I'll have to determine exactly the proper way. I mean, typically, you know, applications are put as links on the meeting notices.
On the county website.
But, on the county website.
But even like the PowerPoints too?
They are not. And that I'll have to determine exactly how we are able to decipher that.
That would be great. I'm one of the yellow houses, and I know there was a comment made. He was surprised that we didn't know our wells. We know our wells for a property as they are today, not how things are intended or proposed to be changed. That's the surprising part. It's going to go underneath there. It's going to start moving things, right? Not the way I live today in my property. So that's why I would like to see the data too.
Yeah, so anyone else left in the room, and if you speak to anyone, for one thing, my contact information is on the website, and so Andy Bueller, and or you can get it tonight. And so if you have any questions on that, we'll determine exactly how we can get the information out, if it's how it's packaged, because it is public information, it is part of the meeting, and there's a lot of materials, and we haven't had that before, so we'll figure out a way, but please give me a call so I have your information then, and then we can get it out to you when we have that determined.
For sure. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So I'm confused on how this got back to you guys when it was your specific instructions to send it back to Wheatland. And I know Wheatland voted on it, but two board members would Andy Kelly still panel vote the same way. So who had the power to make it come back to you guys?
Andy, can you just explain real quick the zoning?
Sure, and John, our Corporation Council was in contact with the council for the town of Wheatland, and there was correspondence back and forth, and we received information from the town that was they were not going to bring it before their board. I think that you would have to bring it before the town.
Since the last meeting in October, I have discovered that cement. I had no idea. And I would hope that all of you would look into the vested interest that he has in this going forward, resources that he has used from the company, either in the past or in the coming future for what's coming. I think that's extremely important in how this got back to you. And I find that disgusting if that is part of the reason. And I just urge you all, please.
Just want to explain. It's in front of this board because this is the board that has the authority.
I know, but you have the authority to send it to them and you didn't want to do it. That's what I'm saying.
No. We did. They're advisory.
So just to clarify, so the process is that any item would go before the local planning commission, which would send a recommendation to the town board. The town board then sends a recommendation to this committee, which sends a recommendation to the county board. And so in the case at the town plan commission did send a recommendation to the town board, and the town board did not act. When it came here, this committee was concerned that action didn't take place and requested that the town review the situation. And I think this committee was hopeful that action might be taken at the town level. Their council, and John, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, their council had indicated several reasons of why it would it would be difficult for their town board to be able to move forward as to some of the different things that occurred at this meeting with some of the representatives.
It's kind of very unfortunate because we wouldn't have to be here today if...
That's not correct.
We wouldn't have, we would still have to be here?
Well, you'd still be here, but...
Oh, yeah.
I thought we'd be done with it.
With any action at the town, approval or denial, is a recommendation sent to this committee.
Recommendation, okay.
Yes.
I understand that a little better. And please, please look into the health aspects. I don't hear them mentioning it at all. Your questions, besides his, thank you, brave man, doesn't go around that at all. And there's litigation cases out there with people that have come forward because of it. In the groundwater that you're drinking, how quickly all that contaminants can get in there. You have to look at our health. That is so important. I beg of you, research that, please. Thank you.
Okay. Any other citizen comments? All right. Any other business, Andy?
So to inform the committee, we are meeting on this item for the 8th and April. We did not receive any other items, and so we have this, the tabled items from this meeting moving to March. And then we'll be in contact to determine the proper time for the committee to meet as a work session, and then we'll have to go through the proper posting for that, because it is a posting.